Hello and welcome to this episode of HPR. I'm your host, Jonathan Nato. Today we've got an exciting interview. I'm speaking with Carol Smith, and she's the program administrator for Google Summer of Code. Carol, I would like to thank you for joining us and giving us your time.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, before we get too deep into the interview, I'd like to ask you, how did you even get involved with Summer of Code, and what do you exactly do at Google, being the program administrator with the open source portion of Google?
So I've been working at Google for about 8.5 years now, and I've kind of moved all over the company. I actually started as an administrative assistant, then I moved into program management. But I started running Google Summer of Code just about 4 years ago now, and I had actually heard about the program when I had started at Google in 2005, and I got really interested in it. And when I had an opportunity to sort of look around within the company for a new opportunity, I talked to the person who was running the program at the time, and we did some looking around and talked about it, and I ended up taking over the program administration in, I guess that would be probably early 2010 now.
Awesome.
And so I've been running it for about 4 years now, and yeah, this is all part of our the open source programs team's outreach efforts, and this is one of our student programs, and then we have a sister program, Google Coden, which is for 13 to 17 year olds, which my colleague runs.
All right, cool. And so this is, we were talking before the interview, this is the 10th iteration of Google Summer of Code, which is pretty awesome.
Yes, yeah, it is. It's been going on for a while, since 2005, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really great, I guess you would call it a service or a thing that Google does, within the open source community. I think it's really fantastic what you guys do. Could you explain to our listeners, maybe they never heard of Google Summer of Code, quickly, or however deep you want to get, what exactly is Google Summer of Code and why would Google do this?
So at its core, Google Summer of Code is a university outreach program. It's intended to get university students interested and involved in working in open source software. And so basically how it works is that Google at the start of the year chooses organizations that are working in free or open source software to partner with. And it usually ends up being about 175 or 180 organizations. So it's quite a few, and they're all over the world. And then university students actually submit proposals to work for those organizations, to create a project over the summertime for those organizations, and to be mentored by those organizations to get help with creating and crafting the project. And that happens over the summertime, so from just about April until August of this year. And it's not just for undergraduates either. It's also for grad students and PhDs, if there's any of those students listening too.
So. Oh, okay. So what's great is it's really kind of almost a twofold thing for the student, where you guys will pay the student, I believe, is it $5,000 for?
This year, as part of the 10th anniversary, we're actually raised the student stipend. So it's actually, if you successfully complete the entire program, it's actually $5,500.
Oh, nice. Great.
Yeah.
So the student, not only do they get paid to work during the summer, and they can actually do something they like doing instead of maybe finding like a factory job or whatever,
yeah,
working at a convenience store or something, they get to do some coding. But not only do they get paid, but they'll get experience working with a free and open source software project.
And that's why I think it's such a great program, actually, is because the student gets experience, they have a project at the end of the summertime that they can say, I made this, and they can put that on their resume, and then they get the experience working with that open source software community, which often involves a lot of things that university students might not get experience with, like, for example, working with people across time zones or across language barriers, and also working in distributed development and working on mailing list etiquette, which some students need more than others. And the organization also gets that code as well at the end of the summer that they can use as well. So it's great for everybody involved.
Yeah, I've even heard some students say that, after I did the Google Summer Code, I graduated, the next year, and that company I did work for ended up hiring me because of their experience.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. We hear that those are some great success stories, and we hear that all the time from students that often their experience with GSOC is our acronym for it. Their experience with GSOC is actually what ends up getting them a job with the organization they were working with, or even if it's not with that organization they were working with, it makes them a lot more look a lot better to potential employers.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess before we get into what the students would do, I guess the first process to ask about is, you know, say if I have a project I'd like to submit to GSOC, what does the project have to do?
Yeah, so the requirements for mentoring organizations are that, one, that they have at some point released software under an OSI approved license, which, you know, most organizations that are working in open source already have at some point.
Yeah.
If you're really creating and releasing code, you probably fit into that category. And then we also have a few requirements for the project to be large enough and viable enough that they can provide organization administrators for the program. So basically, these are going to be the people who are just looking after the project for the summertime. They're making sure the students are getting the attention that they need from their mentors, and that the organization is getting what it needs from the students.
Okay.
And as long as the organizations fit into those two categories, then they're welcome to apply. And actually, applications open pretty soon. They open on Monday, February 3rd, and they're open for 2 weeks, so they close on Valentine's Day on February 14th,
okay,
on Friday.
So does there have to be a certain number of mentors, or there obviously has to be at least one, but...
We only require that the organization provides two organization administrators.
Okay.
And then basically those organization administrators can choose to also mentor projects if they're sort of a small organization and they, maybe are a developing community. Maybe they only want a couple projects. That's fine. They can also mentor as well as be the organization administrator. Or they can have other mentors from their community as well if they're maybe a larger project. It's up to them. But our only requirement is that they have at least two.
Okay. And so now for the students, I'm assuming as they're applying, they'll be able to see the candidates or, you know, the mentoring projects that they can choose from. So now can we take it from the student's point of view, what they would do?
Yeah. So one of the things that as part of their application that organizations need to provide is something that we call an ideas list, which is actually one of the more, I guess, important parts of the application. And this is basically just a list of things that they think that the students might want to work on. Basically,
okay,
projects that they think, would make sense for them, obviously, as an organization, but also that they think might be interesting for a 3-month project for a student developer. And so once we announce which organizations are going to be participating, which, by the way, is on February 24th, where we announce which organizations we have this year. Once we announce those organizations, each of those organizations is going to have their ideas list published publicly.
Okay.
And so at that point, the students can look at the organization itself, but they can also look at their ideas list and they can see, you know, they can start to get some ideas of what kind of projects they think they might want to work on for these organizations. And so they'll kind of come up with some project ideas. And then applications actually open on March 10th.
Okay.
You might notice there's actually a bit of a gap there between when we announce organizations and when students start to apply. And what we hope is that students in the meanwhile, after we've chosen our organizations for this year, we hope that students will kind of reach out to these communities and say, hey, you know, I'm interested in participating in GSOC. I'm interested in your organization. You know, I'm interested in this particular project. Could you tell me a little bit more about kind of what you're expecting? And, you know, they'll engage them in a conversation so that once applications open, there's really just kind of the student just gets to submit their proposal, and it's already kind of been understood between the organization and the student what the student's interested in working on. So it's easier for everybody involved.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, so student applications open on March 10th, and then they close again 2 weeks later on March 21st.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So with the, like, so would a student, is it wise for them to maybe apply to a few projects to see? Because I'd assume some projects could turn down students if they wanted to for whatever reason.
Yeah, absolutely. They can submit up to 5 proposals.
Okay.
Any student can submit up to 5 proposals. And that can be, you know, that could be 5 proposals for one organization. Or if you don't want to put your eggs in one basket, that could be one proposal for 5 organizations.
Oh, okay.
Or any combination that the student chooses. So I mean, they're probably going to find some organizations that are seem more interesting to them than others, and so they'll probably want to submit. You know, I think you know, if I were a student in this position, I'd probably submit maybe two or three proposals.
Yeah.
But I'll of course say that of course quality is more important than quantity.
Right. So yeah, and I guess that makes more sense. Like you said, there's a gap between the 24th and the 10th, because then really you can kind of, you know, bypass possibly being turned down, because you can already speak to the project, let them know what you want to do, and really kind of get sort of, I guess you could say, pre-approved almost.
Absolutely, yeah. One of the not so secret ways to get into GSOC is to already be involved with an open source organization and enthusiastic about the project you're going to work on, and have already spoken to the people involved about what you want to work on and how it's going to look. And then the proposal just really ends up being kind of a perfunctory submission. But you and the organization are already kind of agreed that, yes, you're happy about this project and you want to work on it.
Yeah.
And you're the right person for it.
Yeah, that's so. Now, you said you normally get like 175 to 185 projects. Can more than one student work on a project? Is it one student per project? Or how many students do you guys usually end up taking in for GSOC?
No, it's in total we end up accepting about 1,250 students all over the world.
Wow!
But no, one student can only work on one project at a time.
Okay.
Having said that, there are some organizations that choose to have kind of, you know, if they're big enough, they'll kind of have related projects. They'll have some multiple students working on something that maybe is all related to sort of one larger feature kind
I
of
see.
Thing.
I see.
But it's one student per project, and you can, as a student, you can only really be accepted to work on one thing at a time for the summer.
So I guess, again, so, you know, what made Google want to do this? I mean, even 10 years ago, that's pretty like looking pretty far ahead into the future. No, I don't know of any other companies that's like, you know, hey, let's give each person $5,000 to work on, you know, this open source project that we may or may not even benefit from. Like, what possessed Google to do something like this?
Well, I actually, you know, I wasn't around for those conversations in the early days, I can say that. But I think it was a little bit of foresight on the part of some people who were working in the open source program space at Google at the time. And they sort of got to chatting and said, you know, what would make a lot of more sense for getting more developers into free and open source, and also what would make sense for how Google can support and give back to the open source community. Mm. Since, you know, Google, like a lot of corporations, uses a lot of open source code already,
right,
and wants to give back to those communities. And it seemed to make a lot of sense that if you want to encourage more computer science and technology students to get involved in open source, that you give them an opportunity to work in a space that they might not otherwise get to when they're spending their time maybe working at McDonald's and flipping burgers.
Yeah.
And instead they could be spending their time coding and reinforcing the things that they've been learning at university.
Absolutely. Now, has Google ever, like, I don't know if this is overstepping my boundary or not, but does Google, like, has anyone ever hired someone from GSOC for Google? Like, do they kind of see what these kids are doing, or?
Yes, we have hired students from GSOC for Google, but I can tell you the numbers aren't that big. Like you said a little bit earlier, it's a lot more common for us to hear from students that they get hired by the organization that they are mentored by and that they work for.
Yeah.
Specifically because that organization is now already familiar with that person's development style. They know them from the community. They know how they work, and they've already got a working relationship. You know, Google kind of isn't really involved in that part of it very much. And so it makes a lot more sense for these students to be actually hired by those organizations. But yeah, we have hired a few of them.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I guess it even, like I said, goes back to more than a twofold. It could be a threefold. Like, you know, not only do they get experience, not only are they getting paid, but there's a possible, you know, job opportunity at the end, maybe in the future for some of these kids. So.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, even more than Google hiring them, like I said, I mean, just having participated in GSOC just makes your resume better. Just makes you look like a better candidate for any employer that you want to apply for.
Yeah, absolutely, because you could point to them and say, hey, I've worked on this XYZ project that's pretty well known. Here's, you know, you can even look at my you know, Git commits or, you know, SVN commits if you want and see what I've done. So, yeah.
Exactly. And a lot of university students who, you know, you spend 4 years learning CS, but you actually don't end up with that tangible project where you can say, yeah, I built this and this, and you can compile this, and this is how you can evaluate my code.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, where should, I'm assuming there's at the one website, the mentors and students can all go to the one website to apply and all that stuff.
Yep, the
So,
website is Google Dash Melange, MELANGE.com.
okay.
And that's where we actually administer both of our student programs. So if you just go to Google Dash Melange.com, you're going to come to a landing page and you'll have to choose Google Summer of Code. And from there, yeah, we've got the whole 2014 program page on there. And once mentoring organization applications open on Monday, there'll be a big link there to register and to submit an application if you want to. And then again, once student applications open, that there'll be a big link on that front page for students to register and submit an application if they want to do that.
Awesome. Now we did say this is the 10th iteration. Is there any other like special things you guys are doing other than giving an extra $500? Are there any other things you're doing within the program for the 10th year?
Yeah, there are a bunch of things. One thing is actually that we're just doing a lot more outreach and a lot more travel. My team has been actually in a whole bunch of different countries where we've seen a lot of participation over the last 10 years. I was recently in Poland and Romania and Australia. I have some colleagues who were just in Sri Lanka and are going to be in Belgium. So we're doing a lot of outreach all over the world, trying to encourage more students to participate, encourage more organizations to participate. So hopefully we're getting more of the word out. So that's one thing. But another thing is that we're actually accepting 10% more students this year than we ever have before,
Oh,
which
wow.
if the numbers end up working out, will probably be over 1,300 students. So that's great. And then we're also accepting 10 more organizations than we ever have before, which if the numbers work out, will be 190 organizations. So yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Now, do you ever have to turn organizations away, or do you always get more than you need?
We do. We do get more applications than we can accept. Yeah, that's the case every year. Unfortunately, I mean, it just ends up being kind of a numbers game. I mean, there really is a limit to how many organizations we can accept, and every year we have to tell some sad people that we're sorry. But hopefully, with getting the word out and having more space this year, maybe there won't be quite as many sad faces as there has been in the past.
Yeah, so with the ratio then, is there almost like three students working on each per project then? That's what it almost sounds like if you're, roughly have 200 mentor projects and you have, possibly 1300 kids.
Yeah, so actually, another initiative that we actually took up a few years ago when I started running the program is that the last few years we've concentrated really hard on when we choose organizations for the program. We've concentrated on trying to find sort of those smaller burgeoning projects, maybe that are really only staffed by maybe, one, two, three developers, and try to get them into the program as new organizations so that they can get sort of a boost from GSOC and from the student developers that they can get through the program. So we've been trying to encourage that. So we've had on the order of about 50 of our organizations each year have been new organizations that have never participated before that are
Oh,
maybe just
okay.
only a couple people. So having said that, we have a bunch of organizations that maybe only have one or two student projects every year. And then we have huge organizations like KDE and GNOME that are accepting, 20 or 30 or 40
I see,
or
'cause like you
even
said,
more students.
yeah, 'cause like you said, even though, there's GNOME, they could have seven projects going on. So that's why they could have like 20 kids.
Yeah,
I
so
see.
some organizations are very big and have, sort of multiple sub organizations. The Python Software Foundation comes to mind. They'll have, multiple different sort of organizations within their organization. So it kind of depends. But then we also have, the small organizations which maybe just have two student developers for the year, and that's fine for them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Is there anything else that you wanted to cover, Carol, about GSOC? Is there anything I might have overlooked or anything else that you wanted to mention?
No, I just want to tell everybody that if they go to the website, we also have a whole bunch of we have our timeline on there. So if they missed any of the dates or anything, they can see that. And then we also have a huge, very lengthy FAQ page. So for any kind of frequently asked question that they might have, it's probably answered on there. And then the other thing that's linked off of the FAQ, which I want to just make everybody aware of, is we also have two open source manuals. One is for mentors and organization admins, and one is for students. And these are written by people who've participated in the program before to give people advice on things that they might be concerned about or things they might encounter. And so I'd really encourage anyone who's interested in participating in the program to read those manuals and see if maybe their concerns are addressed in there. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Those are all the resources.
So February 3rd is when the mentoring opens, and mm-hmm. February 14th is when it closes. And then the second, March 10th is when it opens for students to apply, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then those close on March 21st.
Okay. All right. And then you want to give the website one more time?
Yeah. It's Google, Google dash Melange, MELANGE.com. Google-Melange.com.
Awesome. Carol, thank you so much for your time and the Google Summer of Code. I mean, this is, it's amazing, you know, what you guys are doing and, you know, getting more, you know, more students into free and open source software. And I think it's very effective and a great way to do it. So greatly, greatly appreciate it. I thank you on behalf of everyone that's participated or that will. And I'm looking forward to a successful GSOC this year. And and thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show.
All right. Thanks, Carol.
All right. Bye.
Edit menu, edit menu, new, transport menu, pause, top space.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.